Hey, welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Caird, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Joining us now is the D.C., well, lobbyist, I guess, is the only other, but he represents in the federal policy area, Jim Callen. He represents North Dakota Corn, North Dakota Grain Growers, U.S. Durum Growers. Jim, how are you doing?
Mick, I am doing well. It's good to speak with you again. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Always good to get you on the radio. I guess of first off, major concern, another stimulus package, maybe? Is that in the works? Could another $1,200 for individuals and maybe some more for small businessmen like farmers, could that happen?
I appreciate that question, Mick. It's very timely. The House recently passed another major stimulus bill called the HEROES Act. It's $3 trillion price tag, so bigger than the bigger one that was passed in April, and that was $2.2 trillion. So it's a lot of dollars on the table. It does include monies for ag, I think $16.5 billion, in direct payments for producers, in addition to increases in SNAP and WIC. And it's heavily focused on aid to local and state governments, as well as extending the plus up in unemployment compensation that we had seen under the first CARES Act. The Republicans have indicated in the Senate that they're not going to go for $3 trillion. And in addition, with the favorable economic jobs report last Friday, it looks to me that there's even less momentum for another stimulus. I do think there will be one, however, because most in the Senate would support it. How it manifests itself is unknown. It's not clear whether it would include another check for many Americans who've been impacted by COVID-19 or not. I do think it will include money for producers. There's a whole area here involving the Commodity Credit Corporation, which is helping to administer some of the payments that are going out to producers now under the first CARES package. So that's the CFAP payments that many producers in North Dakota are applying for as we speak, Coronavirus Food Assistance Program. And there's a $3.9 billion in there for non-specialty crops and additional monies for specialty crops and $9.6 billion for livestock too. So folks are sending in their applications to qualify for those payments. But I think we'll likely see another round later, probably in the summer or certainly by the early fall. In any event, Congress has to add more money to CCC because we have ARC and PLC payments that will be coming up in October and November for the 2019 crop year.
All right. Well, but we are enjoying round one of the federal stimulus, which was a mind-boggling multi-trillion dollar number. There is a lot of fiscal conservatism in agriculture, and some folks sure appreciate the money, but this might not happen again, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, there is care with how dollars are spent by producers, and they also feel the same way about how federal dollars should be spent, and good for them. And I think that's reflected in some of the trepidation by folks, particularly in the Senate, about another large stimulus package, particularly one that's, you know, to your point, multi-trillion. I've heard in the Senate maybe $1 trillion at the most they would be looking at for an overall package. And those conversations and discussions are happening as we speak. I do not think anything is going to happen immediately. They're talking about maybe if there would be Senate action, it probably would be after July 4th. They kind of want to wait and see, to your point, Mick, the money that's already there and coming into the economy, federal dollars, how that impacts positively or negatively. It seems to have had a positive impact so far. There's a lot of dollars at stake, a lot of dollars being pumped into the economy. I think they want to play a little bit of a wait-and-see game here and determine, okay, what's going to be really, really needed. They did revise the Paycheck Protection Program that President Trump signed into law last Friday, And that would provide some additional flexibility, including for producers who apply for those loans, with the understanding that you could, if you met certain criteria, you would be relieved of your responsibility to have to pay back those loans. You'd get, you know, fairly significant relief as it's designed. So the belief from an ideological standpoint in terms of conservatism is let's let the private sector take the lead. Let's encourage people to hire, and they're willing to try that and do that through the Paycheck Protection Program to increase employment numbers and have folks employed as opposed to more unemployment compensation.
Okay, visiting with Jim Callen. He's the tip of the spear in Washington for North Dakota corn growers and a few other ag groups from North Dakota. You mentioned the CCC needs to get restored, but an ongoing issue, every farm bill, almost every year, resistance to crop insurance and the benefits and Prevent Plant. What's the discussion in the Beltway regarding Prevent Plant and crop insurance?
Yes, so we have been working with the Risk Management Agency and in conversations as well with Senators Hoeven and Kramer and Congressman Armstrong to get RMA to make some changes along the lines of what it did last year with regards to preventive planting. You may recall that they moved up the date when you can hay and graze and harvest cover crops that you plant on prevented planting acreage without being penalized the 65% that you would otherwise. So we're hoping they can move that up from November 1 to September 1 again and make it maybe perhaps again for 1 year as they did last year. It was not a permanent change. I don't think they wanted to do a permanent route. I think many folks in farm country did not necessarily want them to go permanent, but at least do it when you have to do it, and this would seem to be the year where it should happen again. So we're working with the agency on that particular part of preventive planning, and then we're also working, there's this 1 in 4 requirement on swamp buster land where producers have to plant at least 1 in 4 years in order to be eligible for prevented planting. So we're asking the agency to move that from 1 in 4 to 1 in 6 and to enable a producer to exclude from that scenario, from that calculation, either 2019 or 2020. So this again would be a 1 year exception, not a permanent change. And we've put that fork to the agency, and the agency has indicated, as I understand, that they want to wait until what the preventive planning claims are going to look like. And we don't know yet what those are going to look like. We do believe they're going to be significant in North Dakota and perhaps in South Dakota and parts of Minnesota as well, and maybe one or two other states. So they want to get a sense of what that's going to look like before they make a decision. But we're going to continue to work on that.
Okay. Jim, regarding along those lines, the wetland mitigation program and the appeal process and all that, how did NRCS not put North Dakota on the list as a priority area?
Wow. I know. I was we were surprised by that. To your point, Mick, it was not included when it released its rule and payment information and participation data back in early May. Senator Hoeven was instrumental in getting $5 million for that program, and North Dakota was not listed. So we were in touch with NRCS, working with and through Senator Hoeven's office to find out why that's the case, and does that make folks in North Dakota less likely mitigation bank organizations, educational institutions, nonprofits, for-profits, does that make them less likely to be able to get those funds? That's the concern. It would appear on the surface it would. Then there's also a requirement that non-federal costs would have to be 25%. So one receiving the benefit, the monies, would have to then also add 25% of their own funding in order to establish the program. And so that's concerning too. So we're seeking more information and clarification from NRCS on that area.
Okay. Hey, Jim, we only got about 30 seconds to go here to talk about the U.S.-China trade situation, which soybeans seem to get the bulk of the headlines, but how does that affect corn?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So there had been significant purchases of U.S. corn by China. We'd like to see, obviously, more of that. and particularly in DDGs, which had been a fairly significant market for the United States with China. We'd love to see them buy some of our ethanol as well. I haven't seen that happening recently, so we're going to need to continue focusing on that and make that part of the mix. It could be, it's a good thing for both sides.
Right.
So we're going to be focused on that going forward.
Excellent. Jim Callen, North Dakota Corn Growers, boots on the ground in Washington, D.C. Hey, Jim, always great to visit with you. Thanks for the update. Thanks for the work you do.
Oh, you're welcome. Many thanks to you, Mick.